I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time now for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at this time on KCBS, we're giving you direct access to top experts across various fields.
Today, we're talking about the Chinese balloon that was shot down off the coast of South Carolina over the weekend after floating its way across parts of the U.S. and Canada. To answer your questions, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central News line by Bruce Gentleson, professor of public policy and political science at Duke University and former foreign policy advisor to Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. If you have a question you would like answered, please email us, as always, at askus@kcbsradio.com. Thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about this, I'm sure, confusing topic for some people because we've been told by the experts that you could get, if you wanted photographic intelligence, you could get that from satellites and probably signal stuff too. So what was the purpose of sending this balloon up?
Yeah, I think people really captured it because it, you know, it was very, it had more symbolic significance and a bit of a political football. We've read spy novels and we've seen movies and TV shows, and the balloon seemed to fit all that. The Chinese have been doing this for a long time. There were a number of those that came over to the United States during the Trump administration. But the amount of intelligence and the quality of the intelligence they could get from this really pales in comparison to what they get on a daily basis from their satellites in outer space and what we get from our satellites that fly over China.
What's the process of handling something like this when you're considering national security and, of course, avoiding potential conflict between the U.S. and another country like China?
It's a really good question, and I think a lot of the critics of President Biden just assume, you know, when something like this happens, you shoot first and think later. And what the president did was he convened meetings with his military, with his foreign policy advisors, first of all, to get information about what was going on, what was the capabilities of this. And while they were trying to make the decision, they used our various electronic capabilities to jam it, to limit what it could be doing. And then they assessed, you know, what would be the consequences of shooting it down? What would be the consequences of a 20 by 20 square mile area with debris falling? Also compared to shooting it down over the water, where you could actually have operations to try to get, sort of the pods that were in that and recover, which would have crashed. And then what are the consequences for relations with China? You know, we've had a lot of tensions. Secretary Blinken was about to leave for the first high-level meeting between us and China since 2018, and they called that off. If there had been a week or 10 days in between the incident and the trip, they might have had time to sort of see if they could get it back on track, but you kind of had to call it off in the moment and then figure out what to do next.
Which makes you wonder, was this simply a matter of bad timing? Was this one arm of the Chinese government not talking to another arm? Was this a deliberate provocation to see how we'd react to it?
That's a really important question, because when somebody does something to you in foreign policy or in your own personal relationships, you want to know what their intention is and their motivation. And there are three possible explanations here for this. One was it was intentional that President Xi Jinping wanted to kind of do something very provocative on the eve of negotiation to show that he could hang tough. Second is it was just a pure accident, you know, that it got blown by the westerly winds. And the third is kind of what you were alluding to, you know, could there be elements in the Chinese, you know, they have politics too, you know, in their national security establishment or elsewhere that were concerned that a meeting might begin to make progress in our relations, by no means make us friends, but, you know, get us back on track, and they wanted to avoid that. And so, you know, we may learn over time what the analyses are, which of those holds. I doubt it's the first one. I don't think it was President Xi Jinping trying to be provocative. To me, it was either an accident or somebody that really didn't have an interest in improving relations that the president of China may have to a certain extent.
People are focusing a lot on Montana. Why Montana?
You know, it had this course over Alaska and into Canada. You know, we do have fields of ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, which carry some of our nuclear weapons in Montana. And some experts have said that, you know, they might have been looking for radio signals that they could learn from about how we maintain command of these. That's possible. But again, I think that's very limited quality information. And they're looking at those sites all the time from way up in outer space. So, you know, we'll probably learn more about the route of it. But I don't think it's anything that changes the calculation about what this means and why the president handled it and his team handled it quite well.
Okay, you and I are old Cold War buffs here. Why is it always a weather balloon as the cover for these things?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, again, I think we sort of relate to that. I mean, why else would you say a balloon's up there other than as a weather balloon? You know, sometimes it's been planes. We had an incident in the first year of the George W. Bush administration where a Chinese and American plane over the South China Sea almost collided and our plane was grounded. And you know, way back during the Cold War, when I was a kid and the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, it was Soviet ships carrying missiles towards Cuba. But I really think if this had been just a satellite that was identified, we wouldn't have had the public attention. You know, something like a balloon and a weather balloon that you can kind of picture, you know, it reminds you of movies and TV series and novels.
So I guess the question for us today in the aftermath of all this is, what did U.S. intelligence learn about Chinese intentions and, capabilities?
You know, I think they're still trying to process that. I don't know that the recovery off the coast of South Carolina has been completed of whatever equipment we can get. You know, I think the real question now is, you know, since President Biden and President Xi Jinping had their first in-person meeting in November at a bigger meeting in Asia, the tone had changed. You know, Xi got reappointed to, you know, another 5-year term. But he's had huge problems in China. You know, they had, COVID breakout. They had huge protests. The protests were huge for them in the streets. The economy's not growing like they need. And the sense is, you know, he really doesn't need major problems with the United States. He's not ready to, you know, make amends with us and do everything we want to do. We have issues like Taiwan and others. But I think the intent was to really find those areas that we could work better on. And as they say, put up guardrails on the relationship so that when you have an incident, it doesn't spin out of control. A lot of wars have happened because incidents spin out of control. And so both sides now really need to handle this. The Chinese are saying some things, you know, kind of pushing back on us. And the nature of diplomacy is to try to manage those and get to a better place. So, you know, the best outcome for us and for China is that we reschedule Secretary Blinken's meeting, not next week, but for sometime down the road, and we work towards what the goals were before all this happened.
And what were those goals?
To try to put up those guardrails. And when there's a difference in understanding, you know, you have ways of not letting what we used to call the hotline in the Cold War with the Soviets to find areas we want to work together. I mean, climate change affects both countries, and we're the two largest emitters in the world. The next pandemic, unfortunately, is not if, but when. And how can we all better work together to control pandemics that devastated, you know, countries and economies and the like, to find ways to manage the issue of Taiwan? You know, our politics right now are making that a lot harder. We had senators, you know, holding AK-47s and going on social media about how they would have shot it down. Taiwan is a difficult issue, and China has done some very provocative things. But, you know, we want to manage that issue and make sure it doesn't lead to worse conflict while standing up for Taiwan as a democracy and its security. All those issues need some work. And for during the Trump years and the first really 2 years, the Biden years, it was mostly kind of yelling at each other. And now I think there's some more prudence setting in, and we'll try to work on some really tough issues.
Hey, if you can shoot something down with an AK at 60,000 feet, now that's a news story there that I'd want to cover. How do the military moves and counter moves we're making with China in the South China Sea figure into all of this, right? We announced we're going to put troops back in the Philippines. We're going to have that sort of kind of a pincer movement with Marines on Okinawa and troops in the Philippines. How does that play into all of this?
Yeah, there's a lot of concern in Asia about China being too provocative. They haven't started a war there, but, you know, whether it's Australia or South Korea or the Philippines or Japan or India, over the last 2 or 3 years, they haven't wanted a new Cold War because they have their own issues they work with on China and have their own economic relations. But we were being encouraged to, you know, kind of step up our presence to deter China from making more provocations. And the South China Sea is a major passage for international commerce. And the role in the Philippines is to provide deterrence, you know, and to protect Philippines. Now, I will say, just a week ago, that one of our top-ranking Air Force generals started making his own very provocative statement, saying that he anticipated war with China almost inevitable before 2025. So we got to kind of control things on our end. It's very hard to do, you know, there's no bipartisanship in Congress. And the way Republicans reacted to this, you know, went beyond typical politics to being highly irresponsible. And we'll see what happens with President Biden's State of the Union tomorrow night, because he'll probably address this issue as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Such a delicate balance. I'm wondering about also the timing of the shooting down of the balloon. And I want to bring in another country that we haven't talked about, which is Canada. I mean, the balloon floated over Canada, presumably to get into Montana. Where were they on all this?
Yeah, we have something called the NORAD, the North American, you know, Air Command, that goes back again to the Cuban Missile Crisis days. We've always worked with our, you know, Canadian neighbors and partners on sharing, you know, security to prevent any, you know, surprise attack or other impingement on our airspaces. I'm sure they're involved in the consultations with intelligence and military when it went from Alaska into Canada and then into Montana. But once it was in Montana, it stayed in our airspace, so they've been, you know, not having it as their own issue. And we tracked it, and we you know, again, we took measures while it went across the United States, and then as soon as it was over, we had it still while it was over fairly shallow water to make recovery better off the coast of South Carolina. So we work closely with the Canadians, probably our closest ally in the world.
So I'll make this the last question for you, and you sort of touched on it earlier, but let's make sure we hammer this in for people. We and the Russians, the Chinese, the big powers, we are testing each other's intelligence and military reactions all the time, right? So we have aircraft and all kinds of stuff up to see what each other will do in circumstance X.
That's correct. Yeah. And I think, again, that's their sort of, they're not written down rules, but people understand, you know, what's normal espionage and what's not. Messages are exchanged all the time, quietly, you know, with countries. You know, the nature of diplomacy and intelligence, you do that with the people that are your adversaries, not just with your friends. And so, you know, the goal really, you know, most of the time, I mean, there's sometimes where somebody seeks war, but that's much rarer. The goal is to, you know, take care of your interests and your security and your allies and find as much common ground as you can with adversaries without kidding yourself that you're going to, you know, sort of hold hands with them and be best friends. But you want to manage your relations, and that's where we've been headed with China for the last 3 or 4 months. It's really important that we get back in that direction. It's in our interest to do so. There's nothing soft or concessionary about that.
Thank you so much for your time and your expertise. We've been joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Professor of Policy and Political Science at Duke University and former foreign policy advisor under Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, Bruce Gentleson. KCBS News Time is 9:36. You can listen to the entire interview at kcbsradio.com. All of our Ask an Expert interviews are posted at kcbsradio.com/askanexpert or look under the More button at kcbsradio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.